Phantom House. It's the place for podcasts.
From Philadelphia, PA, it's Avenue G.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
A mythical, mirthful, musical place. It's groovy, it's grand. It transcends time and space, and it's a place where anything is possible. Joining us tonight is unsinkable Martha Michael and Ed Feldman, visitor from a strange galaxy. I'm your dove-tonsured announcer, Andy Pettit. And now, here's your host, the man who once parked Chubby Checker's car, Jim Harris. Hey.
Thanks, Andy. Before we start the show tonight, I'd like to send a shout-out to our studio engineer, Martha Michael. Actually, she's not on the show tonight. She's on vacation with her army buddies out in the Caribbean, or the Caribbean, I'm not sure. Anyway, on behalf of Avenue G, we thank you, Martha, for your service.
I heard Martha was in the Green Berets.
No, Ed. She was in the Teal Berets. They were top secret interior decorating corps. You've probably heard their theme song.
Choose that couch, pick this chair. We know just what to go where. The interior decorating corps. Using light, saving space, putting things in the best place. The interior decorating corps. If you want feng shui, just ask a Teal Beret. We'll give you what you are looking for. We're the ones who know where everything should go. The Interior Decorating Corps. The Interior Decorating Corps. Hey!
Well, I hope Martha has a good time enjoying the sun and sand in Guantanamo Bay.
She's not in Guantanamo Bay. She's in Montego Bay. It's completely different.
Oh, right. Montego Bay, where they make all their margaritas with sea salt. But in Guantanamo Bay, they make them with table salt. And there's more barbed wire.
Since Martha is out, her usual role in the show, which I have yet to quite figure out, will be filled by Ed Feldman.
I'm happy to do whatever I can to make this the best St. Valentine's Day show ever.
Yeah, it's St. Valentine's Day.
So, Ed, do you think we'll be able to fill Martha's shoes? And, of course, her fishnet stockings?
Martha has fishnet stockings?
Yep, she goes fishing with them all the time.
Does she wear them when she's fishing, or does she fill them with fish?
She fills them with fish, duh.
Really? What kind?
Atlantic sea bass.
In addition to filling in for Martha, Ed is the head writer for our show. He's responsible for the sketches enjoyed by our dozens of listeners, all the way from Wichita, Kansas to... Where else do we have listeners?
East Kansas.
East Kansas. Where's that?
You take Route 254 past Ketchy, and then take a right onto North Main Street.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now I remember. Anyway, we're talking here with Ed about tonight's show. So, Ed, what kind of gut-busting gems have you squeezed out of that golden pen of yours?
Well, Jim, in our first skit, you will fall asleep and be visited by ghosts of all the chocolate bunnies that you've killed throughout your lifetime.
I didn't kill them, Ed. I just ate them. Technically speaking, they were never even alive. They were just candy in the shape of bunnies.
Ed, is Jim haunted by the ghosts of gingerbread men too?
No, just bunnies. That's the funny part. It's like Alfred Hitchcock's classic movie, The Birds. Except the birds are bunnies, and they're made of chocolate, and they can't fly. They just hop quietly.
That doesn't seem all that dramatic. How does it end?
Oh, you go insane and spend the rest of your life in a madhouse. It's a metaphor for the concept of episteme, as developed by the radical French philosopher Michel Foucault.
I'm not sure that would be all that, you know, entertaining. Does it have any fart jokes?
I could add some.
I'm thinking we should pass on that one. What else have you got?
Well, my other idea is that we would do a parody of a game show in which all the contestants have to undergo all the experiences that Harriet Tubman suffered during her life.
What?
For example, everyone on the show would get hit in the head with a metal tool as a child and then cross the Mason-Dixon line under cover of darkness.
Well, we have to dress like Harriet Tubman because I got a 19th century hoop skirt in my closet at home that I've been dying to try on.
Look, we are not going to put on a game show about Harriet Tubman. That's just wrong in so many ways. I don't even know where to start.
But it's topical. With all the news about putting her on the new $20 bill, everyone would be interested. What better way to learn about Harriet Tubman than to create a game show about her?
Ed's right. Why, if it weren't for game shows, I never would have learned about the history of the $10,000 pyramid.
I'm sorry, guys, but I'm going to have to pass on this one, too.
Aw, no fair.
I'm not going through another round of answering angry emails, like after the show where Andy dressed up like Mother Teresa and then jumped over 15 school buses in a rocket-powered lawnmower.
That was so cool. I nailed the landing.
Actually, it was pretty amazing. But we can't have a controversy again. Ed, I want you to go back into the green room, come up with a script that's guaranteed to make our audience laugh so hard they'll have to have some sort of surgical treatment.
Will do, Jim. How about this? A parody of Moby Dick in which the whale is a zombie werewolf and Captain Ahab is a sexy vampire.
I'm not sure where you're going with that, but okay, you're the head writer.
Damn right. Have you heard my theme song?
Head writer. He's the man. The man who has all the thoughts, the crazy plots. Such a head writer, promising a story to devise, but it's all lies. The ideas he has are so grand, but you won't get a script in your hand. Although he's in charge of writing sketches, he mostly ruminates and kvetches. Head writer, listeners, beware that the words of Ed are in his head. Mostly ruminates and kvetches. Head writer, listeners, beware that the words of Ed are in his head. He writes in his head, in his head, in his head. He writes in his head, in his head,
in his head. Oh, yeah, that's cool, Ed. Listen, on your way to the green room, could you check on Fartu D2? She's in the broom closet recharging her batteries.
Sure thing.
Fartu has batteries? I thought she was a nuclear-powered time-traveling robot.
Nope. She's just an old-fashioned battery-powered time-traveling robot.
Hey, Jim, there's a guy out there. He says he needs to talk to you right away. His name is Danny Kabuki. Should I let him in or knock him out with chloroform?
No need to do that. I'll talk to him.
Hey, Danny, come on in.
Jimmy, I have a great opportunity for you, and we need to act on it immediately.
Is it better than the time when you had me audition to be the next Morton Salt girl?
Much better, and you won't have to shave your legs and back. As you may know, unless you live under a rock, Michael Strahan just announced he's leaving the Kelly and Michael show.
As I've mentioned before, I don't live under a rock. It's more of a stone slab covered with moss. But yes, I've heard about Michael Strahan. What about it?
It just so happens that my podiatrist is married to the sister of the guy who cleans Kelly Ripa's dryer vents. And you know what that means.
Kelly Ripa has very lint-free clothing?
I got you an audition to be the next co-host of Kelly and... Well, it's going to be the Kelly and Jim show. All we need to do is submit your audition tape.
Is that the submission tape you made with your psychedelic band, the Chrysanthemum Gumballs?
It sure is. I still got it stored in my reel-to-reel collection. I keep the tape soaking in a jar of pickle brine just so they stay supple.
Jim, nobody uses reel-to-reel anymore. We'll have to make a digital video and email it to Kelly over the internet.
The internet? Isn't that the electronic screen thingy that Andy uses to look at pictures of bearded ladies in gold lamé bathing suits?
Well, yeah, among other things. But we gotta move on. Jimmy, let's take the elevator up to my office next door, and I can fill you in on the details.
Okay. Ed, you'll have to keep the show going while I'm gone. Do you think you can do that?
Sure. I'll just do a reading of the unpublished novel I'm working on.
Great. Okay, let's go, Danny.
Okay. Jim, I've arranged for you to do a mock version of the Kelly and Michael show. I've asked a colleague of mine, Claire Quigley,
to play the part of Kelly.
Oh, good idea.
You and she will pretend you're doing a cooking segment.
It'll be great.
Oh, that sounds like... Well, hold on. If your office is located in the building next door to us, how can we be traveling there in an elevator? In order for that to work, the elevator would have to go up and sideways.
What's your point?
But that means we're going on, like, a diagonal. Isn't that physically impossible? We could tip over.
Jim, this is Philadelphia. Nobody here follows regulations like traffic signals or building codes.
Oh, so we're not traveling so much in an elevator as a diagonalator.
That's droll, Jim. You're a regular John Stewart. Listen, when we tape your audition tape, don't make any jokes like that, okay? Here's my office. Jim, I'd like you to meet Claire Quigley. She's a former Miss Teen Rhode Island who you may remember from the now-defunct show Wake Up Philadelphia.
Claire and I are acquainted.
Good to see you, Jim. I'm happy that you might get a chance to work with Kelly Ripa. She's a real pro.
Good to see you too, Claire. Haven't seen you since we broadcasted the Oscars and the giant H from the Hollywood sign fell on you.
Actually, it's one of several periods in my life of which I have no memory. I'm looking forward to filming our segment, but I must ask that you never touch my hair. Never, Jim. Do not touch it.
Enough of this chit-chat. Let's get the video running. Claire, we'll begin by having you explain the cooking segment to Jim.
Sure thing, Danny. So, Jim, today we're going to be cooking with duct tape. We will be preparing zucchini stuffed with cheese sauce.
Great. Are we actually cooking with real duct tape?
I know. It sounds odd, but it's absolutely delish. I've already stuffed the zucchini with cheese. Now, I want you to take it and wrap it in duct tape.
Well, okay, but won't that make it kind of sticky?
If by sticky you mean cheese-tastic, then you're exactly correct. Now then, I want you to pop it in the microwave and cook it for 2.5 minutes.
Well, if you say so, Claire, I've never cooked with duct tape before. Are you sure this is safe?
Absolutely. Why, it's just as safe as giving yourself a tattoo, except with cheese. And now it's done. Wasn't that quick and easy? Here, Jim, take this knife and cut it open.
But the zucchini looks like a steaming throw pillow that's about to explode.
You're so droll. Just poke it with the knife.
If you say so. Holy smokes, the cheese exploded all over the place. Claire, a clump of it got in your hair. Here, let me brush it off.
No, I told you not to touch my hair.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. And now your hair it's falling off into my hands. Oh my God, you're wearing a wig.
Don't look at me!
Claire, you're completely bald.
You wretched little monster, give me back my wig. The one I've had to wear ever since suffering scalp burns during our fireworks broadcast. I'm leaving. Jim Harris, you better pray we never cross paths again. I'll see you in hell.
Well, she sure left in a huff, but not to worry. I think we got enough good material for a first-class audition tape. Jimmy, this is going to change your whole life. From now on, you'll be a big success.
Well, I hope it works out, because...
No more small time for you, Jimbo. You won't be a pathetic showbiz failure anymore.
Well, I had a pretty good career as a musician and a columnist. And
you'll never worry again about people laughing at you in the street, pointing at you for being such a waste of human flesh.
That's not why they point at me. It's because of that birthmark on my shoulder that looks like Eleanor Roosevelt. As long as I wear a shirt, it's not a problem.
Jim! Stop everything! I have important news!
Who's that woman? And why is she wearing flip-flops and military fatigues?
It's Martha! She's supposed to be on vacation in the Caribbean.
Jim, I must warn you. You're in danger. You need to get out of the country quick. I've brought Ed and Andy, and Fartu, the time-traveling robot, to help you escape.
Hi, Jim.
Why is there cheese and duct tape shards all over the place?
How's it going, Fartu? I see you got your batteries charged.
Jim, if you don't leave the country within 24 hours, you will end up imprisoned in one of Donald Trump's gulags. He's building them as we speak, as a way to oppress his political enemies.
What are you talking about? Donald Trump can't do that. He hasn't even been elected president.
Jim, you naive fool, open your eyes. Trump is a shoo-in to win the presidency. While I was on vacation in Guantanamo Bay, I saw a top-secret file. It describes what's going to happen in the November election.
Guantanamo Bay? Jim said you were in Montego Bay.
Oh, yes. How silly of me. I meant to say Montego Bay. Anywho, while I was in Montego Bay, I ran into a CIA operative. He accidentally dropped a memo that described the forthcoming October surprise.
An October surprise? Is the CIA planning a birthday party for me? Again? Last time we played bobbing for apples.
They were waterboarding you. Martha, what is this October surprise?
In October, just before the election, an article will be published in the Washington Post. It will expose that Hillary Clinton is, in fact, a man. He has been cross-dressing since 1968.
Does that mean that Bill Clinton is a woman?
Exactly.
But what about all those bimbos that Bill Clinton slept with? What about Monica Lewinsky?
Her name was Monica? I thought it was Monocle.
That whole Monica Lewinsky scandal was just a cover, a giant conspiracy designed to make Bill Clinton look like a ladies' man.
So what you're saying is when Bill Clinton testified that he never had sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky, he was telling the truth?
Yes. Bill Clinton is the most honest man in the whole wide world. None of that will matter in November when his husband, Hillary, is exposed as a man.
And once that happens, Donald Trump will be elected president and his reign of terror will begin. Do you think he'd hire me as a speechwriter?
What does any of this have to do with me?
Have you forgotten? You sang that droll parody song about Donald Trump and then posted it on YouTube. Here, let me play it for you on my cell phone.
I'm not droll.
Just listen to the song.
Trump's weak little hand are going to he's going to with a large Trump has a like a dachshund's tail because he he'll go to jail.
Great Caesar's Ghost, Jim. That's the most offensive parody I've ever heard.
So, is the part about the dachshund's tail for real?
Sure. I even got some pictures of it.
Trump's people are already gathering a list of enemies for him to imprison once he's elected president. Jim, I happen to know your name is on that list.
My name?
Yes. Although they spelled it wrong. So, if anybody comes to your door asking for Mr. Fim Harris, you'll know your days are numbered.
Martha's right, Fim. Jim. You need to get out of here before it's too late. You must flee to a foreign country that'll accept you as a political exile.
But I don't want to leave the country. I love it here in Philadelphia. And besides, if everybody in Germantown who said something bad about Trump was forced into exile, nobody'd be left at all.
That's all part of Trump's evil plan. Once Germantown is deserted, he'll build a casino here that will go bankrupt and be bailed out by the federal government again.
If I may interrupt, Jim, have you ever considered fleeing to Canada? That's what I did back in 68 when my draft number came up. I only stayed a few weeks, and I had to flee from Canada.
Really? How come?
Well, I went to this really wild party in one of the swanky neighborhoods in Ottawa, and the next morning I woke up in bed next to Premier Pierre Trudeau's wife. I had to skip town in kind of a hurry.
Wow, she was a hottie.
As I recall, that was almost exactly 9 months before she gave birth to the current Premier of Canada.
Ed's right. We need you to get to Canada, and quick. I can program Fart2D2 to transport us there via the space-time continuum.
Well, I've often thought about moving to Canada.
North of the border, up Canada way. That's where you'll go to live. Try to forgive the USA. And now as you ponder being an emigre, hey, north of the border, up Canada way. I saw a picture of a lovely place. Clean lakes with waters blue and mountains too. Lots of open space. The snow doesn't melt there until Labor Day. North of the border, up Canada way. I must learn to enjoy maple syrup and pretend that I'm really polite. Though I don't really like maple syrup, I watch Alex Trebek every night. North of the border, up Canada way, where everybody says they end each phrase by saying A. From the untamed Yukon to Nova Scotia, north of the border, up Canada way. Yeah, I'll never come back here. I'm going to stay north of the border, up Canada way.
Okay, let's do it. Danny, you want to come?
No, I really can't do any cross-border travel. You see, I don't have a visa from any nation. My mother was a Palestinian gypsy, and my father was a Tibetan Jew.
So your dad was a Tibetan Jew, huh? Did he eat beef brisket?
No, he ate yak. It's horrible.
Come on, everybody. If we all place our hands on Fartu's dome, she will transport us to Canada.
Fartu is a female? I thought she was a guy. She's seen me naked.
Shut up, Ed. Now, everybody, come on, hold on to Fartu. Ready, set, go!
Gee, that was a bumpy ride. At least it worked. Here we all are in downtown Toronto. Wait a minute. What happened to Martha, Andy, and Ed? Fartu, where are they? What? You sent them to Hoboken? Why did you do that? Fartu, you just can't transport people to Hoboken because you think they're obnoxious. And sure, I won't deny that Martha, Andy, and Ed are blithering idiots, but still, don't let that happen again, okay? I guess since I'm here, I might as well make the best of it. I think I'll check out that pancake house over there. Yo, butthead, why don't you watch where you're going? Learn how to drive.
Excuse me, sir. I'm sorry to bother you, but you seem to be confused. You a Syrian refugee hoping to find a new homeland?
No, I'm a refugee from Trump's America. I was hoping that I might settle here in Canada. How did you know I wasn't Canadian?
Hey, well, my name is Derek Sutherland, and I'm trained to spot foreigners. I belong to a special division of the RCMP.
Oh, the RCMP. You're with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police?
No, I'm with the Royal Canadian Ministry of Politeness. Our job is to uphold the sterling reputation of politeness that we Canadians cherish so dearly.
Man, you Canadians have thought of everything. First you created a functioning healthcare system, then this. I think I'm really going to like it here.
I'm sorry to have to mention this, but I noticed that when that car honked at you, you yelled at the driver.
Yeah, he was a real jerk, huh? I should have thrown a beer bottle at him.
But wouldn't it have been more polite if he'd said you were sorry for stepping onto the street, and instead of throwing beer bottles, you should recycle them?
Well, where I come from, in Philadelphia, we express our emotions by throwing objects. Like when Santa appears in the parade, we pelt him with snowballs.
Oh, that's not how we do things here in Canada, see? Perhaps I could explain it to you over lunch. You and I could enjoy a meal of back bacon, Molson beer, and pancakes dipped in a quart of maple syrup.
But I'm a vegan, and I don't even drink, and I'm horrified by the thought of back bacon, not to mention side bacon or front bacon.
What about Kevin Bacon?
Well, he is from Philly, but he kind of gives me the creeps, too.
I'm sorry, but that is what we eat here in Canada.
You sure do say I'm sorry a lot.
I'm sorry, but in Canada, we say I'm sorry all the time.
Well, I'm not sorry. If anything, I'm unsorry. And I think your obsession with saying sorry is phenomenally stupid.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Perhaps you should leave Canada and go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah? And if I don't leave, what are you going to do?
We'll set loose some polar bears and have them bite your arms off.
Wow. I didn't see that coming. I had no idea you Canadians could be so violent.
Have you never watched a hockey game?
Perhaps I should find somewhere else to go. Maybe my time-traveling robot could take me to Mexico. What do you say, Fartu? Is it time for us to head south of the border? Then it's agreed. We'll go to Mexico. So long, Derek. It was nice chatting with you.
Good luck with your trip. You're a very annoying person.
What can I say? I'm a true American. Come on, let's go, Fartu. And here I am in sunny Mexico. Wow. Why, it looks like Fartu has transported me to Guadalajara. I just love the names of these Mexican cities. They're so musical. It makes me feel like singing.
Where in creation will I find a nation that I like and who will accept me? Oh, Canada, why'd you reject me? How did you think that that would affect me? Everyone's trying, but Donald's denying the Mexicans' easy entry. I wonder if they'd resent me or grant me residency. Ay, 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 ay. Why don't they want me? I'll feel chagrin if I can't get in to somebody else's country. Ay, 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 ay. I will learn Spanish. I swear I'll begin if they're welcoming. If not, then I guess I will vanish. If they want me, then I swear I'll learn Spanish.
Perdoneme, sir. Why are you standing in the street? Are you American?
Well, yeah, how could you tell?
Because you are standing in the street. If you were Mexican, you would be working right now.
But it's 12:30. It's lunchtime. Nobody works during lunch.
Of course they do. Here in Mexico, everyone wakes up at 5 a.m., rides a crowded bus to work 8 hours in a sweatshop factory, and then walks 5 miles to spend 8 more hours picking avocados.
Everybody? Well, what about the president? Does he have to pick avocados?
Of course. I myself was president of Mexico some years ago, and I had to pick avocados. Granted, I was assisted by a female newscaster in a skin-tight dress, but still, it was hard trabajo.
You're Vicente Fox, the former president of Mexico. Your ancestors came from Ireland. Wow. Hey, I'm Irish too. Maybe we're related.
No. All hard-working Irish immigrants went to Mexico. The lazy ones ended up in the USA. Why, I have heard that some Americans sleep on pillows instead of cinder blocks. What a bunch of wimps!
You know, I'm beginning to think that maybe I shouldn't move to Mexico. But I gotta go someplace. If I stay in the United States, Donald Trump will put me in one of those gulags.
El Trumpo! I cannot wait until he comes to visit Mexico. When that happens, we are all going to stuff a chili pepper someplace that will make his hair turn red. For real!
If only I could find a country that was looking for refugees.
Have you tried Germany? That's the happening place for refugees these days. Of course, you might have to wear lederhosen.
True. But I've always wanted to drive a car 100 miles an hour like they do on the Autobahn. Maybe Germany would be the place for me. What do you think, Fartu? Then it's agreed. Thanks for helping me out, Mr. Fox. If you ever get the chance to actually implement your chili pepper idea, feel free to stuff in an extra one for me.
Sí. Buenos días, Jim.
Okay, Fartu. Off to Deutschland! Here I am in downtown Bonn, Germany, right across from the House of Parliament. I think I'll just walk across the street and check it out.
Excuse me, sir, but what are you doing?
I'm crossing the street with no concern for pedestrian laws, just as I would normally do if I were back home in Philadelphia.
Oh, I see, yes. Unfortunately, here in Germany, one only crosses the street when the traffic light directs one to do so.
But there's no traffic on this street.
That is immaterial. You should only cross when the crossing light gives permission to do so.
But doesn't that just needlessly slow your walking trip?
I suppose so, but unlike you Americans, we Germans don't rush around like idiots all the time. We take 36 weeks of vacation every year, and all our stores close on Sunday.
So you can attend church?
Of course not. We are mostly atheists. We sleep in late on Sunday, Then we have some breakfast wine before we head out to the beer garden. After that, we go to the public gardens and compose symphonies.
Ooh, I like that. I like that last part. I'm a musician myself. I used to be a professional bass player.
You were a bass player? Did you once play bass at a rock and roll festival in San Francisco in 1968?
Yes. How did you know that?
Jim, don't you recognize me? I'm Angela, the young German flower child you fell in love with back when you were playing with your psychedelic band, the Chrysanthemum Gumballs.
Angie?
Actually, it's Angie.
Ongi?
Angela.
But in 68 you were Angie. You told me you were the Angie from the Rolling Stones song.
In 68 I was usually stoned.
What happened to you? I heard you took a bad acid trip and decided to swim to Alcatraz. They said you drowned in the current.
No, I was swept out to sea and picked up by a freighter. They shipped me back to Germany. I became a politician, and now I'm the Chancellor of Germany.
How come you never called me?
I assumed you were dead. I mean, come on, Jim. You weren't exactly leading a healthy lifestyle.
Well, yeah.
Oh, Jim, now that I know you're alive, I'm going to resign my position as Chancellor and run off with you. No man can love a woman the way a bass player can.
And no woman can love a bass player the way a German former flower child chancellor. I'm sorry. I seem to have lost my train of thought.
Run away with me. Sure, I'm the only person keeping Vladimir Putin from launching nuclear bombs on the world's major cities. But now all I want is to feel the touch of your bony, knotted fingertips.
No, Angela. You must continue your work. After all, the problems of two little people don't amount to a mound of chickpeas in this crazy world.
But where will you go, Jim?
Where will I go? I cannot say. When will I get there? I cannot know. Why will I go there? I forget. What were we talking about?
You were saying that you needed to go someplace.
Right, yeah. I need to find some place to go. Oh, yeah, and into exile so that Trump doesn't throw me into one of his gulags. If only my robot Fartu could take me there.
I know just the place for you to go. Here, let me enter the coordinates into your robot's navigation system.
You know how to program a time-traveling robot?
Of course. We Germans all learned that in seventh grade. Your American system of education is really behind the times. Now, you must be off. Farewell. We'll always have hit Ashbury. Auf Wiedersehen, Jim!
Where am I? I seem to be on an island made of volcanic rock. Fartu, where are we? An island off the coast of Iceland? What are all those birds doing here? You mean to tell me this is a puffin rookery? Oh, look how cute they are. Hello there, Mr. Puffin. How are you doing today? Oh my God, your breath is horrible. It's like you've been eating nothing but fish. Well, yeah, you're right. Vegetables are not an option here. I apologize, but I'll have to see you later. Fartu, yeah, let's find a place away from the puffins. Well, I guess it's not all that bad here. I mean, I won't have to constantly be saying I'm sorry like in Canada or working hard like in Mexico. You know, a lot of people would love to be in my shoes. Yeah, this could be a nice quiet place to just sit back and relax.
An exotic location, an island vacation, the circumstance for which most people would wish. But I found out that puffins are nothing like muffins. They are cute, but their breath smells like decaying fish. Like decaying fish, oh, like decaying fish. Oh, the puffins are cute, but their breath smells like fish. It's 14 degrees here, I'll probably freeze here, unless I huddle up with my fine feathered friends. Maybe then I'll stop caring that their breath smells like herring. They are cute, but their breath smells like decaying fish. Like decaying fish, oh, like decaying fish. Oh, the puffins are cute, but their breath smells like fish. It's kind of a dump here. I wish they'd send Trump here. He could build a casino and a great big hotel. If the price of free speech is some time on these beaches, then I'll say what I want to, the puffins won't tell. I'll say what I want to, I'll say what I want to, the puffins aren't talking. I'll say what I like, or the puffins aren't talking, so I'll say what I like.
Oh, here come some more puffins. Maybe they're coming to welcome us. Please, please, stop with opening your mouth. Your breath is unbearable. These birds, they smell terrible. Oh, Fartu, get me out of here. Take me back to Avenue G. I don't care if Trump puts me in a gulag. Just get me home again. Whew. Well, here I am, back in the studio where it all started.
Hey, Jim, what are you doing here? We thought you were in Canada, hiding out from Trump.
Yeah, well, Martha, these things didn't quite work out the way I thought they would. Well, where have you guys been?
We just got off the bus from Hoboken, New Jersey. That whole place has been re-gentrified. It cost $7 to buy a stinking cup of coffee.
And after Andy started singing Captain and Tennille songs, all the hipsters threw artisan cupcakes at us.
One of them hit me in the eye. It was pumpkin-infused velvet gingerbread with a mascarpone cheese topping.
So, Jim, I guess you're going to end up in that gulag. If you want, I can teach you how to make a shiv out of a fondue fork.
Well, that's sweet of you, Ed, but I don't think they have a lot of fondue in prison.
We're all doomed. Once Trump takes control, you'll be arrested. Ed and Andy will lose their radio jobs, and I'll end up a toothless hag trying to catch sea bass with my fishnet stockings.
I guess that's just the way it has to be.
Does it? Or is there another way? Maybe I've just been driven mad by the stench of puffin breath, but what if we, do something?
Do something?
Perhaps, just perhaps, we could volunteer our time to help ensure that Donald Trump doesn't get elected president. We could go out into the community and tell people that it's okay to vote for Hillary.
But Hillary is a man!
Andy, don't judge Hillary just on the basis of his sex. Why, a man can be named Hillary just as well as a woman, and a man can be the first woman president just as well as a woman.
Never thought of it that way. Perhaps a person should not be judged based on superficial traits, but rather on the content of their...
refrigerator. Yes, Jim, you're right. Why, on election day, I'm going to volunteer to drive little old ladies to the polls. And since I own a clown car, I should be able to stuff 30 or 40 of them in there.
Great.
And I'm going to get my quilting bee to sew a giant quilt that will say, "Vote for Hillary." And then we'll wrap it around the statue of William Penn that stands atop Philadelphia City Hall.
Indeed. It may seem that Trump is an unstoppable force, but we Americans have never turned away from difficult challenges.
To beat the unbeatable Trump, to tame his untamable hair, to comb, but not to comb over, to show just how much isn't there, to block his ridiculous wall, to speak truth to wealth and to power, to show him just who is a loser, to prove that this is not his hour. This is my quest, to overcome Trump, to face his supporters, to fight on the stump, to speak for the meek and the immigrant's way, to demonstrate what is great about the USA. And I know if I don't run away, and there's a chance that I will, that our new president will be called either Bernie or Hillary, and the world will be better for this. That one man who has been called a chump stood fast 'cause he couldn't avoid it. To beat the unbeatable Trump.
Well, that's it for this edition of Avenue G. Tonight's show was written by Mac Jacob, Martha Michael, and Jim Harris, and featured Ed Feldman and me, Andy Pettit.
Andy!
For those of you in the Philadelphia area, come out and see our live audience show every first Friday at 7 p.m. at Alma Mater Restaurant. That's 7165 Germantown Avenue. Our next show there is Friday, July 1st at 7 p.m. You can check out all our podcasts anytime online at avenue-g.net. And if you'd like to help preserve puffin habitat, please visit the Audubon Society's Puffin Project at www.projectpuffin.audubon.org. Thanks for listening. Good night.